Welcome, ladies, to our Naomi's Table Bible study in the book of Ephesians. Bible study teacher Beth Seifert has today's lesson. And, of course, don't forget the Bible study notes and questions to help you dig deeper. Those can be found on our website, naomistable.com. Let's open up God's Word and begin.
Well, today we'll be in day 17 of our study through the book of Ephesians, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. I've titled this lesson, Be Careful with Your Arrows. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Okay, so yesterday we talked about husbands and wives. The most important familial relationship is God likens that relationship to his son in the church. Paul, however, does not stop there. Today we get to talk about children and parents. Again, an extremely important relationship as God is our father and we are his children. Even from a purely secular standing, parents generally should be teaching their children how to live and function in the world. It is the job of the parents to raise up their children. It's not the job of the government or society at large, despite what certain political theories might suggest. Obedience is due both parents. In their obedience to their parents, children demonstrate their honor and respect for their parents. Verse 1 is one my children can quote to you. I've often asked them to repeat it when they are disobeying. This serves two purposes. It reminds them that it is not simply to make mommy happy or not to get in trouble that they should obey. And it reminds me that I am not always right, but God is. Did you catch that in the verse? It doesn't say obey because your parents are right. It says obey in the Lord, for this is right. This verse doesn't simply stop with obey. Parents have a tendency to read this and think it says that. But parents have a responsibility to remember that we are to train our children in Him. Yes, children should obey parents out of obedience to God, but they shouldn't be and aren't required to obey parents when their parents are going against God. So children are to show their love for God by obeying their parents, and parents are to show their love for their children and for God by being parents worthy of obedience. Paul starts by describing a negative reaction that parents should seek to avoid, and then tells them of a positive action to develop. Parents should not be provoking their children to anger. When we do this, when we are the ones who are acting unfairly and are giving our children cause for anger, how dare we get mad when our children react with anger? They're children. Instead, we are to bring our children up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. A domineering and thoughtless father discourages obedient children. It doesn't encourage them. After all, if you obey and are still mistreated, what is the incentive for you to obey? It doesn't exist. Verse 4 speaks explicitly to that, and it reminds parents not to act unreasonably and try to twist the commandment given in Deuteronomy. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, exasperate has basically three meanings. The first one just strikes me. To excite the anger of. Parents, don't excite the anger of your children. Now, don't get me wrong. They aren't going to like being corrected. They're not going to enjoy their punishments, or it wouldn't be a punishment. But don't rile them up on purpose. The second definition? To cause irritation or annoyance. Again, do not deliberately antagonize your children. There will be times when they are irritated or annoyed with you, but don't set those situations up and plant seeds of doubt and frustration that may make them run as far as they can from the path that you want them to be on. The final meaning is to make grievous or to make heavy or burden. Do you see the theme here? Parents, we have so much power over our children, and as Spider-Man says, with great power comes great responsibility, and it's true. Again, please, oh please, notice that this is a command for the parents. This isn't a command for youth leaders. Youth leaders aren't mentioned in the Bible at all. The responsibility to train up your child in the way he or she should go is yours, parents. It's not the church's. It's not the youth group or youth pastor. It is yours. If you don't feel equipped to do that, then seek out help from your church to point you to good resources. One book that I know of is called Shepherding a Child's Heart, and it's one that I do recommend. And train up your children. Now, it may be on-the-job training, but then what part of parenting is not on-the-job training? As parents, this is a broadening of that hefty responsibility to raise our children. We are responsible to train them in such a way that their obedience will set them on the path that God wants them on. When we are putting God first in our lives, they see that. When we are trying to show them God more clearly each day, they see that. They see the path that we set before them. Don't you want to make sure that that path is leading in the right direction? If you've ever participated in a sport of any kind, you know that it involves effort and practice to really excel. Ask yourself how many hours a week are involved in those youth soccer leagues. At a minimum, just with practice, they're going to be investing a minimum of 2 hours a week plus the games. And chances are that you'll also work with your child outside of practice, right? Even if you spent 15 minutes twice a week, that's another 30 minutes a week. So why is it that we seem willing to invest 3 to 4 hours a week in a sport, which is of temporal value, yet we think that dropping our children off for an hour of Sunday school and an hour of youth group is going to be sufficient to give them what they need to walk in the path of the Lord and to inherit eternity with Him? Oh, ladies, this shouldn't be. Your child may be the best athlete or musician in the world, but if your child rejects Christ, all of their ability is meaningless. Now, let's look back a moment at yesterday, okay? Remember how Paul talked about wives submitting to their husbands? These verses that follow right after that give us another reason that the false claims that some women make, and yeah, I mostly hear it from women, of mutual submission in marriage does not make sense. If this whole section is talking about mutual submission, shouldn't you see that here too? But you wouldn't submit to your child, right? Especially as they are children, not adults. If your child insists that they should be allowed to eat whatever they want, sleep when they want, and do whatever they want, you wouldn't just go along with that as a parent. But it is so hard for us to accept that we women are to submit to the authority of our husbands. But that is the command. It's not mutual submission. We have to look at these things in context. Now, I want my children to look back on their childhoods and bless me, not curse me. I want my children to look back on their childhoods and see more positive than negative. I want them to see that I tried my best to equip them to be warriors for God. I want them to thank me someday for dealing with all of the nonsense to help them become men they can be proud of. But in the same vein, I want to send my children out into the world knowing that I did my absolute best, knowing that I gave them everything I had to give them to equip them for their journeys through this world. I want to see my children seeking God daily and giving their lives to Him. I want to see my little boys become men after God's own heart. I need to remind myself of this daily so that I tailor my actions to achieve that. But you know what? If I'm training them up to be men of God and they reject God, they won't bless me for their childhoods. If they choose to follow a path that does not lead to God, they probably won't be delighted with their childhood at the end of the day. And I have to accept that as much as I want all these things for my sons and for them to think well of me, the only one I should be seeking to please is God. And I need to leave the results up to Him, trusting Him with these precious souls of my beautiful sons. If you don't have children, consider the impact that you have on the lives of those around you. Are you exasperating your co-workers instead of helping them to see God's desire for all of us to stop rebelling against Him and come to faith in Him? As children, because we've all been children, instead of looking at your childhood and blaming your parents for whatever it is, look for the positive and move forward from there. Look to see how what tools your parents gave you as a child can help you to become what God wants you to become today. Forgive what needs to be forgiven and give it over to God and go forward with your identity wrapped up in Him, not in your past. Parents, how are you doing on training up your children in the way they should go? Are you expecting the church to do the work for you? The schools? Do you really understand that an hour of Sunday school once a week isn't enough to combat the daily barrage of anti-biblical propaganda that is out there? If you need to repent of this, do it. Address it with God and with your children, and then do everything you can to train your children up in the way they should go. Don't leave it for someone else to do it. Don't assume that they're going to get it in an hour a week, especially as they live in this world that hates God. How deliberate are you about training up your children? Are you exasperating them? Or are you encouraging and rebuking and sharpening them, pointing them always back to the cross as their source of strength? Don't put the pressure on them to behave. I can behave perfectly in public and still be a sinful mess inside. Remind them that they need a Savior, that they don't control it all, that their outward behavior is just that, outward behavior. Let them know you are interested in their heart, and point them ever to the source of strength and comfort and salvation that they have in Christ. And while you're reminding them, remind yourself. Remind yourself that you too need a Savior, and you don't control it all. Do a heart check and ask yourself if you are wanting your children to obey for your own reputation, or do you want your children's hearts to be taken captive by Christ, even if it means their behavior may sometimes, or frequently, embarrass you or make you cringe? Remember, none of us are perfect, so let's stop expecting our children to be perfect. Let's help them to learn to run to the cross for every failure and for every success. You can find the notes to this study under the Bible Studies tab on the website naomistable.com, day 17. Be careful with your arrows.